Well, I'm watching a Ricky Fiuki match. So we better make this quick. I didn't get paused on the way out.
What the Fiuki?
Yeah, and everybody loves to go to Ricky Fiuki match.
Well, with that being said, this week on Reliving the Extreme, we are discussing the episode of ECW from May the 28th, 1996. Nate Maxson, your host here, along with my brother Aaron and Mr. Chad Austin.
What's up, 420?
Funniest thing of the week so far as we record, I may have already mentioned it. I think Aaron and I discussed it. Maybe I don't know if we discussed it with Chad or not, but funniest thing of the week so far in the wrestling community is the physical state of all the guys on the internet body shaming Sheamus. It's like, oh, Sheamus, you know, it's like grown man ages and puts on a little weight, newsflash at 11. And then he comes out there and he still looks like a motherfucking wrestler. And now there's these fat bastards are on the internet. These big fat fucking fucks body shaming Sheamus. Like, buddy, look in the mirror. Put down your butter tub or whatever the fuck you're eating from.
He's been there 20 years.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, he still looks great for his age. He's 46. I looked it up. He's 46 years old. He just had surgery. He comes back, he puts on a little bit of weight and just looks, I don't know, barrel-chested or whatever. And I see all these fucking guys who have actual breasts. like X-Pac said, that go all the way around to your back. And they're calling Sheamus fat.
How many of these guys are named? How many of these guys that are shaming him are named A. Mitchell? is that a common thread amongst these?
Archie,
shamers?
In Archie's defense, he's self aware.
Well, he's making us aware.
Did you see Sheamus's like tweet back to all those people?
Didn't he say, I'm big boned or something?
Yeah, it just said, I'm big boned.
Hey, what do you want?
Dude, not a single one of them would want to mess with Sheamus.
Right.
Not a single one.
And physically wise, visually wise, it's probably the best shape he's in. And like Nate said, he's 46 years old. So, honestly, it's probably better for him not to be fucking jacked to the gills because he's going to get hurt again.
He's going to get hurt.
So, it's a bunch of ignorant people that don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Dude, could you imagine him just grabbing one of these jabronis and just giving them the 9 beats of the Bowery or whatever the hell?
I picture him holding them by their neck beard.
Yeah, and just beating them. And then, like, everybody at Walmart starts counting along.
Him beating those people would look like him beating a fucking pillowcase full of cottage cheese.
Yeah, that's a shame. Yeah, dude, what's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong with Sheamus, dude. So what? I mean, it's a shame that I look better than him.
And I do like the fact that they gave him his old music.
Hey man, anyway, this has got to be like the we got to be like in the twilight, you know?
Yeah,
we're definitely in the back nine.
Yeah, well, so, I think in the using the words that Cornette would use, I think that when he does hang him up, he's going to be figured in too. He'll be figured in because he's a hunter guy.
Yeah, so. And it's like, we don't want to talk too much about them. Modern product or whatever, but it's like, oh, these guys are saying Sheamus looks out of shape. He doesn't look anything different than like guys like Harley or Arn or Ronnie Garvin looked like when they were at the peak of their career. You know what I mean? It's just that it's just ignorant, those people saying that shit.
The Sheik, Abby, Carlos Colon.
I mean, these idiots act like he came out looking like the Awesome Kongs.
Or Mighty Igor. selling Pollock Johnnies, giving them out to the crowd. Instead of pancakes, he's handing out hot dogs. Yeah, he's fine, dude. Yeah, he's got it. He said he's 46.
Yeah.
And he's been there almost 20 years. Yeah, what's he got? 4, 5 more, probably.
Yeah, maybe 4 or 5. And like I said, after he hangs him up, he'll be
figured.
He'll
in.
Be, yeah. Oh, definitely. He'll be, if he's not working at the PC, he'll be he'll be part of the backstage crew or something. Because like I said, I mean, he's a hunter guy. When he first came in, his first WrestleMania, he got to have a match with Triple H because Triple H likes him that much.
A real quick side note on him. When he first started, and my buddy Hollywood by the Star was doing jobs up there, you know that stuff that the guys wear, that hot stuff they put on their body to make them look like they're... Yeah. Well, he's allergic to it. Sheamus is. Because you know how pale he is. Well, Bobby Starr, I didn't know that. And Bobby Starr is in the back. He's all getting hot stuffed up, putting all that stuff on. And when he got into the ring, and then when Sheamus realized that he had it on, Sheamus beat the shit out of him. Like, much like Vader did. Like, and for some reason, as great as Bob is, and as much as everybody loves Bob and how easy he is to work, he gets beat up all the time, like in the ring, because he somehow pissed Vader off. He pissed Sheamus off. I mean,
he's the opposite of Shawn Michaels. He pisses people off unintentionally.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That I thought that was a great story because it was an outside show too.
Bob Starr spends half his match going, "Oh,
yeah, yeah." He knows what a receipt is. That's 100%.
The episode of ECW, like I said, that we're reviewing this week is from May 28th, 1996, and this show kind of takes place in. It's not necessarily from one taping. There's actually multiple matches or multiple things happening in multiple arenas.
Good. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. Some of it's at the ECW arena. Some of it's in Allentown. So it took some footage from multiple shows this week. And I think overall gave us a pretty good show. We'll dig into it. Starting out, Joey Styles, or actually, I'm sorry. We start out with a video package showing all the shenanigans and hijinks so far in ECW of Brian Pillman with WWE dubbed music over it. So I don't know if anybody narrated it or what, because WWE just put their music over it. So
I wonder, I was going to ask you about that too. Like there was a couple times today on some of the shows, on some of the stuff that I was going to ask you. I wonder what music they were playing behind it, but I think the Pillman one was, I think I know the song, but I can't tell you the name off the top of my head. I think I know which one it is, but it took me forever to figure it out because I'm like, I couldn't remember what song that he used, like when they used it in vignettes, but it was a girl band. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, Aaron? Do you remember? Because I don't.
I don't remember.
Yeah, if I heard the song, I would definitely say yes or no. But yeah, I think it's a girl. It's a, I think it's the band Seether, I think. Or maybe, I think it's
Seether. Veruca Salt?
Veruca Salt. That's, I think.
Yeah, they sang Seether. Yeah, so maybe you're right. It was Veruca Salt. I can see that for Brian Pillman. That fits.
Yeah, that's the new game that I'm playing over here is when I watch these ECW shows and try to figure out what music they're playing.
Because when you said girl band, I thought about the Breeders, like that Cannonball song.
It could have been that. It was definitely out of that mold. Definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that we see the stuff about Pillman, and then Joey Styles tells us that for the first time since his accident, Brian Pillman is going to be at the ECW arena this Saturday. This is May 28th, the ECW arena show, so that would probably be like June 6th or 7th, maybe.
Dude,
and he's gonna be Pillman's in the WWF by the end of June. So whatever we see on the next show from Pillman will be the last Pillman we see in ECW.
And I was gonna say that answers our question because a couple times you go into this, like watching Pillman's run, we were like, oh, is this when he got hurt? Is this when he got hurt? It's like we finally found out. And I thought it was funny, like all the rumors that they were talking up, like Joey brought up on the that was going on the fucking internet, like, and like, oh, is he gonna show us the pins in his legs?
Was he gonna get the plastic surgery to look like Shawn Michaels?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That was the one. He got plastic surgery to resemble Shawn Michaels. Are we gonna find out?
He said so much stuff that all I could write was Joey was going nuts talking about Pillman. he literally was on fire just talking about what the hell Pillman was going to show up there. I was just like, God damn, when he said that shit, I was dying. I was just hoping you guys caught that.
Well, Joey also tells us that Hardcore Heaven is coming up on June 22nd. And they're gonna have another match, a third match between Rob Van Dam and Sabu, which we go to the footage from last week from after the match with the I don't respect you and all of that and the injury to Sabu and then a Paul Heyman promo. And I don't believe it was the same promo from last week.
It was the same setting.
Yeah, that's what like I was like, because my memory, I was like, it looks the same because he's sitting in his car like he was last week, but it doesn't feel like he's saying the same thing he said last week.
He said the same stuff. He just said it with different wording. Because it was all about an expect something promo. Mm-hmm. That's what he said last week or whatever. Whatever it was, but he said the same exact thing. He was doing the same exact thing when he said it. It just wasn't the same verbiage. I caught that.
Yeah, the last week, I think the last week promo and this week's promo were cut on the same day, but it was just a different angle on the story. Like last week, it was like, I know who stooged Sabu's injury off. And then this week, it was like, Rob, you took that information and now basically said you fucked up.
That's it.
You know,
that's exactly it. That's what it was. You're right, Aaron. He did say that last week. He was talking about somebody who stooged it off. And then today, and while he's still packing the same car, the same trunk, everything, on the same conversation, he just realized who it was while he was saying it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Same underwear. Same everything.
Same escort or geo tracker, whatever he's packing.
Yep, that's exactly what it was. It was you nailed it. It was everything was exactly the same. Like he's still been packing his car, his Geostorm for a week, and all of a sudden the name just hit him.
And it's great storytelling that they are using Sabu and Van Dam to set up Sabu and Taz. You know, I love the weaving of the two stories.
And the main thing I liked about it was he put Rob over, but he also didn't, because he was like, if a real man could take Sabu down and have Sabu taken out on a stretcher, like you would be the baddest ass sumbitch on the planet. But you did it by getting inside information on it. Like, yeah. So it was like, yeah, you did what you did, but you did it underhandedly. You know what I mean? Like,
you did it to a half-assed.
Yeah. Like, Paulie's basically saying, if you wouldn't have known that fucking information, and I wouldn't have known you known that information, I'd say you're the baddest dude on the fucking planet.
Yeah. I mean, take the psychology aspect in effect. Sabu's an intimidating dude, you know? And just say in wrestling, he looks intimidating and everything. And if you're Rob Van Dam, a guy like Sabu would still have to be somewhat, you don't look at it as a job guy or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to take him serious. But yeah, knowing that he's all banged up and half crippled and everything else, that throws the whole, you know, that part of the aspect out of the equation to where, yeah, I know the guy's lame coming into the, you know, he's coming into the ring handicapped. So, That's a great way of looking at it, the way they presented it like that. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. Of course. What do you think Van Dam was going to do? Not work on Sabu's neck or something?
Right.
You know what I mean? Are you going to work on the leg? What is this, Dark Side of the Ring?
Speaking of Sabu, I was watching, I think I was just watching a couple of Nitros, but they were from September, October of 95. And it was that very brief time that Sabu was in WCW. Like, he had that first match with Jerry Lynn as JL, which was good. And it was a good showcase for him. Then they put him in a match with Alex Wright. And then his last match was on a Nitro against Disco Inferno. And sure. I thought to myself, I don't know that 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 ever could have worked. I don't know that Sabu and WCW ever could have worked. I mean, maybe later on, you know, when you get to like, and I hate to say it, but maybe later on when you get to the Russo era where wild shit's going on.
Russo.
No, what I'm saying is just in the atmosphere of WCW at that time, I don't know how they ever thought that was going to work.
Well,
maybe I'm wrong.
Between what you've watched in WCW in the last couple of days and what I've watched in the last couple of days, they got some of the best ratings they've gotten in years. I mean, I've watched a couple of DVDs that were had a bunch of Nitros on them or whatever, and I just sat there and just shook my head at like what the hell was going on.
Some of that fucking there's no Hulkamaniacs here, brother. The Dungeons of Doom shit, that fucking community theater shit they were doing with Hogan, and oh my god, it was fucking awful.
Yeah, that's fast forward stuff.
I see, it's not for me because I watch it and just sit back and laugh. It's ridiculous enough to keep me watching it.
I can't do anything, Hogan. Nothing. I mean, it's all just so phony. He's all just a big fraud. That, you know what I mean? That like the joke is over. So anytime he's on something new or relevant or you know current, I just go, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Does he even know what's true?
No. At this point, no. He doesn't know some of this. I think he really believes some of the stories he tells. Andre was 700 pounds when I slammed him in.
When he first started telling the story.
Yeah.
By the end of the story is that one-ton giant. He said that before. The one-ton giant. It was 450 pounds.
All right. We'll get back into it. The Sabu thing just triggered my thought for that thinking about watching that WCW stuff. But now we get back to Joey, and he's talking about how coming this Saturday at the arena, we're going to have the rematch between Too Cold and Shane Douglas for the TV title. And then we go to fan cam footage, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 minutes of a match that between Too Cold Scorpio and Chris Jericho. What I saw of it was really good, obviously. Although sometimes the fan cam stuff, when you're watching it, it can get a little annoying, but I enjoyed what I saw of this match. They, like I said, they only showed about maybe 4 or 5 minutes of it, but now I'm sure it was probably 20 minutes.
Oh yeah, it was a house show. Yeah, it probably was. I used to have all of them. I might still do. I don't know. I might have them all. I had I don't know. I think it was 125 or 130 of them, like total. But I know I had that. And again, it just boggles my mind at how much they got out of Chris Jericho in that little bit of time.
Now that fan cam and house show footage, was that anything ECW ever released, or was that just tape traders trading?
No, it was probably fan cam. Yeah,
I think they should have done. What I think they should have done with the fan cam thing is. The reason it's annoying is because it's got like those block things on it. It says fan cam and record and all that.
That's obviously not on the camcorder.
Right.
Yeah. What they should have done was just say, this company is so insane and crazy that we have no idea what the fuck's going to happen. So at every one of our shows, we have at least one camera.
Yeah, they could have easily put one of their jabroni backstage people in the audience with a camcorder for real.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they did. Like, this wasn't a fan filming this shit. This was somebody with a fucking camcorder or a camera for ECW. It's like, just say that. Just say, this is ECW. We have no fucking idea what's going on. So at every show that we have at least one camera.
Yeah, it was Rob.
This fucking company's crazy.
It was one of them, probably Doug, probably that did it. Yeah, they should have just like they should have just had gave like remember the curtain call.
Mm-hmm.
How that? Why not? Why you could just put some jabroni out in the so it looks half-assed. You know, some guy in the crowd just happened to, wow, this is great, you know. But no, Aaron's right. this was like, this was shot. It was clear. This was clearly shot.
Yeah. So just say, like I said, just say we have no fucking idea what's going to happen to these shows. So every episode, every house show we have or every spot show we have, we're going to record it because we don't know what the fuck's going to happen. Don't do that stupid gimmicky fan cam.
Well, like I said, the match between Scorpio and Jericho, what we got of it was good. Scorpio winds up winning, but at the end, he puts over Chris Jericho. You know, he looks into the camera, the fan cam, and says, you know, something to the effect of, wow, this kid's really good or something like that. Or, you know, he put Jericho over as they were exiting the segment. So
as he was saying goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah. Alley-oop, alley-oop, alley-oop. Jericho's good.
He's gonna be real good in WWE in 4 years. Once you get past this WCW stuff that actually got him over.
Aaron, any comments on the match itself or the segment there? I know we discussed the fan cam thing at length, but
the match was really good and it was cool seeing him like in a different setting, like they were in that gymnasium or whatever. Like that was cool.
Yeah, what do you think there was there? I wrote about 400. Do you think it's 400 people there?
It looked like it, yeah.
You think so? Yeah. Because it wasn't a very big place, and it wasn't totally full.
That was like a gym.
Yeah, I guess 400 was about right. Somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
Then they get to, after that, Joey comes back and tells us that the Sandman has a knee injury and had to have surgery to repair it, which I think is true. I don't know if it's true or not, to be honest with you, or if it's just an angle. But anyway, then they show us clips of a triple threat match with Douglas, Sandman, and Dreamer from Allentown, it looked like. It looked like that one was from Allentown. That's where I kind of placed that in my brain. Shane Douglas gets the clover leaf on Sandman, and Too Cold Scorpio comes in and throws in the towel for the Sandman. I didn't know that your tag team partner could do that, but I guess in ECW, anything's fucking possible.
And it also means that you don't lose your championship.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, Sandman's still the champion. Like what the fuck? He can throw the hanky in, but the hanky don't mean shit.
The hanky don't mean shit. Don't tell that to Bob Backlund.
Yeah, he's still bitter over that.
He's still the champion to this day.
He still hasn't blown his nose since 84.
That's why he's so mad and uptight.
Why? He's just congested.
Yeah, he's just congested.
He needs some Mucinex.
The reason Bob's so pissed is he has hay fever. Like,
he's all pissed off at his allergies.
Yeah, he gives him some Mucinex, he'll settle down.
When he's looking at his hands, it's because they're covered in snot.
That's what it is. It's not the shame that he just did. It's just he's got phlegm all over himself. But while he's doing that Harvard step test, just nose just running.
All I want to do is procure a Kleenex.
Yeah. No wonder he's always crying. Like you say, he's got hay fever. He wasn't pissed off at all when Billy Graham broke his belt. He knew he was going to get a new one. It was allergies.
If Bob Backlund's coming at you, just start mowing your yard. Right away.
We finally found the counter to the cross-faced chicken wing. It's pollen.
Yep. You get sign guy Dudley to put up a sign that says high pollen area or whatever.
Blow one of them little cotton plants at him. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, a little dead dandelion. Yeah.
Yeah, a little dandelion.
Why wasn't Bob Backlund at ECW anyway?
That would have been
fun. That would have been amazing. That would have been like shit.
Bowtie Bob.
Bob Backlund in ECW.
Man, it's by Hunter Q. Robbins. That would have been great.
He's the only guy that can handle him because he can't smell his breath because he's congested.
Because it was hay fever.
I want to see Bob Backlund in the back encountering the blue meanie.
Meanie walks up. He's like, I heard you're handing out chicken wings.
Dude, don't say that to the blue meanie. Because you can already see the joke right there. Bob Backlund's all handing out chicken wings, and Blue Meanie's got a big bucket from Hooters. You can already see that visual. Damn, Bob Backlund and ECW. Why ain't somebody booked that?
And then with Bob Backlund's use of adjectives, you know, you are so rotund. He would just come up with every big word for fat that you could possibly think of.
I love it. I love that he used the word procured.
Yeah, procured the championship.
He took it. How about that? Imagine him trying to be a witness in a police report if he worked at a convenience store.
He procured the slushy.
Yes. This juvenile delinquent apparently has no, nothing morals. A 4LB.
One of the highlights of 1995 in the WWF is Bob Backlund playing chess with Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
One of the highlights of 95 is Bob Backlund.
Yeah.
Hey, I was in. Like, I was into. I was at the place where I think it's when he beat Bret Hart. Whatever. It was in Maryland. It was in our vacation place. And me and my buddy went, and we were shocked as shit. Like, when they put the, like, me and, I think me and him were the only two people that popped when they, like, put the strap on, like, Bob Backlund. Like, God Providence? Damn.
Wasn't that Providence?
They did something in Salisbury or something like that in Maryland.
Don't remember. Well, I know that he, I can't remember where that Survivor Series was that he beat Brett because.
I think it was Providence.
Because what was it, 2 days later or 3 days later or whatever, Kevin Nash beat Bob at Madison Square Garden. But
Nash said, like, Nash is a big Bob Backlund mark and fan. And he said, like, he beat Bob, powerbombed him, and the match was like 8 seconds. And it wasn't on TV or anything. And he said Bob could have just popped back up, walked out. He said after he got jackknifed, Bob crawled out of the ring.
Yeah.
And
it's over.
And
I'm done.
Crawled. And, yeah, but he took the jackknife, got pinned, and then crawled out of the ring and crawled all the way to the fucking back.
That's what Bob needs.
Nasal spray.
Yeah, he did. The thing he did in Salisbury when he did with Bret Hart was, I think it's when he put the chicken wing on him and wouldn't get it off of him. Like, I don't know if it was after the title, the loss or whatever, but yeah, that's the angle they did.
Oh, that was before. That's when he turned, because he wanted to fight Bret, and Bret gave him the shot and Bret beat him.
And yeah, that was in Salisbury, because I was there for that.
Okay, yeah. All right. So now that's refreshing my memory. So he won the title he won the title from Bret in Texas, because I just started thinking about it, and that was the fucking Survivor Series they had Chuck Norris on, where he was the troubleshooting referee against with the Undertaker and Yokozuna. So yeah, you're right, Chad. He turned heel in the summertime in Maryland, and then he beat Bret for the title in Texas in November. But anyway, this is the Bob Backlund show, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know why Providence is in my mind somewhere with Bob, but he did something there. ECW.
ECW, yes. The next thing that we see on our show is we get an interview. Joey Styles is interviewing Raven. And
Stevie, right?
We kind of skipped something, though.
Stevie. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. We skipped Stevie. I'm sorry. I skipped Stevie.
It's 14 jalopy, sloppy boob jobs. I couldn't.
And the fact that he. And the fact that he's
going to say that.
And the fact that he's going to accept Sandman's open challenge, because that's the gimmick with Sandman now, is that his knee's fucked up, but he still wants to compete. He has an open challenge, and Stevie wants to accept it. And Then Stevie's out here doing his stupid Stevie humor. He dances like MC Hammer. And he does the boob joke about Missy and
14 jobby sloppy boob jobs. That's what he said.
Sloppy jalopy.
That's the best.
And then him and,
that's the funniest he's been in a long time.
And then him and Joey keep doing that, like, thing. Like, that's like an inside joke with them. I don't know what it means, but they do it like 3 times.
Well, then it's an old Raven promo after that.
Yes. I was going to say also, just a quick thing. You know, Stevie Richards, I know, I don't know if we've really ever got into how either one of you overall think about Stevie. Stevie Richards is a wrestler that I want to like, but I don't.
Not a fan. Not a fan of him as a person or a wrestler. No.
Well, I don't know him as a person. I don't know him as a person, but
he's lame.
This is as a gimmick. I mean, I liked about it. I liked the right to censor stuff, but other than that, it's like I think he does. He's a good stooge.
He just rubbed me the wrong way from the very beginning, and I never. I mean, maybe I didn't give him a chance, but you know. Once he rubbed me the wrong way, I just like, I ain't got a time for this guy. He just seems like a jabroni. I spent more than enough time with him, put it that way. I used to have to travel with him. Me, him, and Raven. All right.
Ooh. Did Raven like him?
Apparently, because he did everything. He called him boss. He still called him boss. Even when they just traveled together, he was still boss.
Did you not like him because he thought he was... Like, he comes off to me as maybe a guy that is, like, high on his own shit. You know what I mean? Like, did he think he was...
I don't think he was at first. I just didn't click with him. I think he was one of them video game people and stuff. that ain't for me, man. I like tasty Asian loins. I don't play video games. I watch porno. I'm an adult. Stupid. Nah, he just never, like, it's a Raven probably, he did everything. He drove, he did all that shit, you know? So why not keep him around? I just didn't like him. And I had to work him probably a dozen or so times. And none of our matches were any good. Because I didn't want him to be. You know? What do I care?
So it wasn't so much that he's a bad guy or whatever, it's just you guys didn't click.
No, he's like an ass kisser guy. Like, but it's over the top kind of ass kissing. Like, you don't stop. Enough already. Enough.
Well, like I said, after this, yeah, we get Joey in the ring with Raven, Stevie Richards, Meanie, and Brian Lee. And
oh, wait a minute, then you forget the Dudley thing?
That's coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. I think that's after this.
No, I know what he's talking about. He's talking about the Dudley phone call.
That's after their match, I believe. But essentially Raven does this whole convoluted thing about how he already knew about Kimona and Beulah. So he brought Kimona in because he thought that if he was with Kimona, he could still be with Beulah in spirit. And
he said he could taste Beulah.
Yeah. And I was just like, this is weird. What the fuck are you talking about?
It is weird, but it's also his character trying to save face of the fact that he's trying to say, like, he knew about all that shit. You know what I mean? So, I knew that was happening. So it's just him.
Raven and his girl problems. Are you kidding me? Jesus. Like, I thought I had it bad. He's got girls that are doing each other. I gotta drive to 3 different states to get laid. Raven's got them all living in the same car with him.
But yeah, that's that whole thing. And essentially he tells He tells Stevie Richards to go out, and I didn't write every word he used down, but essentially to go out and find the skankiest tramp he can find for Raven. And
it shouldn't be too hard in Philadelphia.
Stevie seems like he's just the guy for that job.
I'm sure Raven already knew somebody, and he was just saying enough words that Stevie would connect to who it was. I know exactly who you're talking about, boss.
Stevie was like, I think Sonny's still under contract, boss. I don't know if I can hire her.
Yeah. And Bella and Mary Kay aren't in the business yet. I'm sorry, Bella and Mary Kay.
Well, the next thing we get after that segment is the Dudleys.
My favorite part of the show.
And they are up against the team of Damian Kane and Devin Storm.
I think there's a tag team there, buddy. How to put asses in seats. I kept waiting for you to bring this up just so we could talk about like, Bubba on the phone. And then the chase scene again. I've been thinking about that ever since like when you texted me earlier in the week about doing the show. And I was just kept laughing about just the Devon chasing Bubba in the parking lot. That's the funniest goddamn thing I've seen in years.
It really is. Yeah. And after we got done with the show last week, I thought, oh, why didn't I bring up putting Yakety Sax under that? That would be even better.
Of course. That's still the funniest goddamn shit, man. Yeah, but you know who's still around, though, during this?
Yeah, DW. I put down DW gets fucking splattered during this match.
This has to be it, right?
We keep saying it. He's like we moved on from Hunter Q to DW Dudley. Like it used to be Hunter Q. This has to be it, right?
That's DW. God.
But yeah, this is basically the Dudley boys versus Leather Lou Albano and his rent boy.
And poor Damian Kane, or whatever his name is, Devin Storm. He looked out of place like a motherfucker in that match, didn't he? I mean,
when it first came on, I was like, I was looking away from my TV, and I looked back up, and before I noticed that it was Devin Storm, I was like, why is Damian Kane teaming with Marty Jannetty? because of his tights. But I thought, oh, it's Devin Storm.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it because I'm not. It's kind of like we were talking about with Sheamus or whatever. It's like, I'm not a wrestler. I'm not an athlete. I'm not anything. So I hate to say, oh, this person's terrible. But Damian Kane.
Oh, God.
Another Lou Albano in the ring is fucking terrible. He's fucking horrible.
And he had already been in the business about 20 years then.
And he's trying to work in like lady leather pants
and fucking leather Lou Albano pants.
Yeah, leather Lou Albano pants and fucking boots that look like they're two times too small for him. And he's got his big fucking perm. It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
I kept waiting for him to pop up in the Chris Colt Dark Side of the Moon or Dark Side of the Ring episode. Like, Damian Kane has to fit in this guy's life somewhere. But yeah, he's a turd. a big one.
And after the match, it's funny because like the match goes, and like, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but the Dudley boys end up losing the match by disqualification, and Leather Lou Albano and his rent boy pick up their whore. And they're like, we're the ultimate package. And he goes, he's like, they're the ultimate package. Please send it somewhere else.
WCW. he said they're sending the WCW.
Please send it somewhere else. Did you see that horrible chair shot that Devin Storm hit on Bubba?
And Joey, like, Styles, so bad. And Joey Styles made another WCW reference.
Yeah, during that he was like, oh, there's that WCW influence.
Yeah.
And Bubba didn't even sell it. And Bubba just looked at him.
He put the chair on his head. Like, yeah. He didn't hit him
And Bubba just looked at him. Like,
didn't Bubba just walk away?
He walked away.
He said, I'm not having none of this. What a storm that Devin was. Oof.
he gets much better later, but it's like, this was fucking rough.
yes, it did. Although, where does it get better?
I enjoyed him as Crowbar in WCW. I liked that. I liked him there.
I hated working with him. I don't like him either. not a big fan of Crow Bizarre. I'm a bigger fan of Z-Bar.
I actually wrote down, it's funny because Aaron said the thing, or mentioned the thing about them putting Lady Alexandria on their shoulders and stuff to end the segment. And I actually wrote down here, here's a faction that's going to set the world on fire.
They're going to put butts in seats. Although, if you take off Lady Alexander's boot, the top, though, maybe. Damn, could you imagine that people in Philadelphia going crazy if she would take off that top?
It'd probably just plop down.
You think so? Nah, there was too much helium in there. They ain't going nowhere. Damian Kane. All them people are still here. Well, and this is supposed to be like when ECW was good.
It's just
the names that we're saying. It's like, how could this company be so good? You know, Damian Kane's still there.
The his fucking lady pants and high heels.
The blue meanie babe. Are you talking about? Who didn't have a name for 4 weeks? Apparently, anybody can just run into the ring.
Oh, shit. Well, at the end of this match, they tease, of course, tension between Devon and Bubba Ray. And then here we go, the segment we've all been waiting for, the payphone.
Go ahead.
The Dudleys are a fucking highlight every single week. Every single week.
At least they are now.
Highlight, yes.
they definitely are now.
They have found their groove with this gimmick, and it is fantastic. Good shit every single week. Aaron,
it's Bubba trying to call Dick, get him to come back and bring this shit back, and Devon's trying to. It's good shit because, I mean, I can't even explain why it's good shit. It's just, you got to see it to understand it. It's fantastic.
It's the visual. It's completely the visual of it. Just the fact that Bubba's such a clueless idiot, and then you got Devon's trying to like make something out of it, and Bubba's just stupid. Devon even pick the phone Devon up like it was a dial tone or something when he grabbed
Devon
it.
Devon is essentially this intense individual surrounded by fucking idiots.
Yeah.
And it makes for such good television. It's just so much fun to watch.
And like, Big Dick is a guy that just, his contribution to everything is just going, to them, he's the voice of reason. You know what I mean? Like,
his contribution was not getting healthy.
It's insanity.
Yeah, I could have swore at one point Devon grabbed the phone and it was like a dial tone. Like, he wasn't even talking to anybody. Like, yeah, I was just like, dude, this is ridiculous. I wrote, what the fuck is going on here? but it's still funny. It's still the best part of the show. I don't care how good that whatever the Eliminators and all that other stuff was with all the brawling going on. I'd much rather see Bubba and Devon chasing each other in a parking lot somewhere. Coming, scooting across the screen on the screen of one of them amigos. Dude, we could do weeks of DB with that angle.
And of course, the summary here by Joey Styles, and he kind of brings up the he kind of alludes to it in the way that his voice was. He's like, with this Dudley faction, we actually need Big Dick Dudley to come back to make things normal again. Like, with these crazy motherfuckers. Yeah, he's the voice of reason. He doesn't fucking say anything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's the guy that, like, when the shit starts going crazy, he just goes, everybody's like, oh, shit.
Well, at the end of the day with the Dudley angles, at least we know where we got the Wyatts from. It's that they're all related. They got to be related. It's just the Wyatts are way more serious and the Dudleys are the Whitakers, the soft white underbellies of the Wyatt family.
Yeah, they're the wonderful Whites of whatever.
Yeah, West Virginia. Like, yeah, that's what they are, the Whitakers.
And then after that, proving that he's not very good at comedy, Stevie Richards goes for the obvious. You always hate the obvious joke.
Oh, I love Big Dick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was funny. You made the obvious joke that every one of us could make.
I don't think anybody even laughed then.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. That was a put my hand on my face moment. Oh, boy. But that was a Paul line, right? He obviously didn't make that line up. He didn't make that. He was fed that line. But, yeah, it's still so Stevie doing this stuff. It just kills me, man. He's so terrible. He's awful.
So the next thing we have is our main event match to wrap up the show. It's probably, I don't know, what, about 15 minutes
of a brawl? Yeah,
it's about 7 minutes too long is what it is.
It's it's the match that we set up a few weeks ago on the show where they said that the Pit Bulls got beat down at the training facility. That was so many weeks ago, I forgot about it until they mentioned that I saw this match happen. I'm like, oh, this is the match they were setting up like 6 weeks ago or whatever when we were watching the show. But it is the Gangstas. Excuse me. It's the Gangstas and Tommy Dreamer against Brian Lee and the Eliminators. And they just brawl all over the fucking arena. I don't have a lot of notes on the match. I have a couple of spots written down, but not a lot of notes on the match itself because it's one of those matches where you've got six guys. Everybody's fighting in different areas, so they're just switching camera angles. And I mean,
the worst part of the whole match was you saw so many fans, like in the ECW arena, that you know somewhere in South Philly there's a bar full of single women that weren't looking for any of them guys, like because they showed so many Mitchells like in the crowd cheering them on and stuff. That is like, none of you all have girlfriends or, you know, they all look the same. They were all just schlubs out there. And it was like they were putting the people on camera on purpose. These are our fans. And that's what I even wrote down. Like somewhere there's a bar with a full girls that don't want any of these guys. But it was just the brawl, man.
Yeah, and not saying it was bad.
No, it wasn't bad.
It was just it wasn't bad either.
I just think, like I said, I think it just went way too long.
I actually was kind of hoping they would still just have Devon chase Bubba through the building, like while all this was going on.
Continue from last week, yeah.
Like when they were up on the Eagle's Nest, brawling up there and stuff. That if the camera would just kind of like panned around, and then you just saw this Bubba just run out, and Devon's still chasing him.
So here's my thing, Aaron, and I agree with you. And it happens with a lot of these walk and brawl matches in ECW. For TV, it is too long, but I'm sure that in the arena, it doesn't feel that way. You know what I mean? Like these walk and brawl matches are meant for that crowd in the arena. They're not even necessarily meant for TV.
Oh, but totally.
Yeah, I would have rather seen 5 more minutes of on TV. I would have rather seen 5 more minutes of Scorpio and Jericho. The 5 minutes of this thing, mm-hmm. which is what it was, and it was fun. And I enjoyed it, but I just thought it went too long. Like, I actually fast-forwarded it a little bit. So I was like, I got to get to the end of this fucking match.
Well, Brian Lee at this point is super lazy. You know, he's already gotten to that point where he's super lazy. So, I mean, that was, you know, it was just going to be that, and all you were setting up was some terrible dreamer spot as all it was building to, where he was going to fall off of something, and this fat ass just rolled off the second part of the stage. He got bumped off, and he fell on the one stage. And I don't know whether he's supposed to go all the way to the floor or not, but he fell off the one stage, but it was close enough that all he had to do was half roll back onto the floor. And there was nobody there to pick him up.
I noticed that. Like, if, and I know what you're talking about, and I know we don't like to put over Dreamer very much, but if he would have just splatted onto the fucking stage, it actually would have been kind of cool and kind of impressive, but then he rolled.
Yeah, he half rolled off the stage.
Yeah, it's like, just splat your fat ass there and just lay there, man. It would have looked impressive.
Well, in his dumb defense, it probably did hurt, because he did land like more closer to the end than in the middle of it. So it was probably a harder part of the surface. So it probably did hurt him a little more than if he would have landed. Cause that stage is like, that thing is pretty solid the way they built that thing. Cause it ain't supposed to move. And so, yeah, if you were landed in the middle, it would have been a lot better, but no, he landed closer to the end where it was going to be the supports there and stuff. But yeah, but he just rolled his walrus ass right off of that thing and just fell right there. You would have thought that he would have had a bunch of fans that were ready to catch him, but nobody did. He splatted.
But this the crescendo of this match essentially is Tommy Dreamer DDTs Saturn off the top rope through a table, and then Cactus Jack comes off the top with a chair onto Saturn and pins Saturn.
Cactus Jack. And then
what did I say? Oh, I wrote Jack here. New Jack. I'm sorry.
Where did Cactus Jack come from?
Cactus Jack is back, everybody.
I fast-forwarded way too much.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at my notes Jack. Still going, where the hell is Jack?
New Jack, I'm sorry. I just wrote Jack down here. And anyway, and then to end the show, Joey Styles says, when in big hype mode, that the match is finally going to happen for the ECW tag titles this Saturday. It's going to be the Eliminators versus the Gangstas. And then the Eliminators, or the Gangstas, of course, are
Mussolini?
Mussolini and Cactus Jack.
Jim Stroke?
It's Mustafa Saeed and Cactus Jack.
Afa and Cactus
Mustafa
Jack.
Ali and Mr. Saeed.
Wild Samoan Afa and Cactus Jack.
The Gangstas are Afa and Cactus Jack.
I like my team better than the actual team. I'm sorry.
Against Mr. Saito and who?
Terry Garvin.
Did you say Mustafa Ali? Good God.
He wasn't even born yet.
Against Mr. Saito and John Tolis.
Where the hell is Bob Backlund at?
He's the special ref. Point.
That's a match I'd pay money to see. I come all the way back for that. John Tolis. He's still selling the tackle powder.
The Gangstas are off of Samoan and Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
And they're managed by Leather Lou Albano.
Off is like, good job, OJ.
That's two less white people we gotta worry about.
Cactus is like, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, that's fine.
So let's get this straight before we end the show.
I feel like we're done doing ECW and we started doing the UWF.
So it's Mr. Saito and who?
Jungle Jack Perry.
Oh. Like he needs he needs more news coverage. Mr. Saito.
The Eliminators are Mr. Saito.
And John Tolis. Road
Warrior Animal.
It's New York against the Eliminators, New York and Crumbs. what are you booking this stuff while you're eating Fritos or something?
Overall, I actually gave this episode a C. I thought that this episode, I don't, it wasn't that it was bad. It just, it's probably the least good episode we've seen in at least 2 months.
Yeah, that's fair. I think us talking about it was better than the show.
I have no idea what just happened.
I had a stroke and we got into for some reason I smell burning hamburger. What's going on? Aaron, what was your grade? I gave it a C this week.
I'd give it a B minus.
Yeah, all right. We're all in the same boat.
And like I said, I'm not giving it a C because I'm saying that it stinks, but we've seen an upturn in the quality of the show over the past few months, maybe even 6 months, and this one just felt like a bit of a step down, so it just got a lower grade from me.
Well, it seemed like they were trying to put 10 pounds in 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was so much going on that they had to edit so much out that you didn't get like the full like scope of everything because they had to show you so much. So they
could and then Cactus and Afa show up at the end, and everybody's like, "What the fuck is going on?"
If Cactus and Afa showed up and attacked everybody, I'd give it an A++.
I know.
Cactus and Afa just laying waste to Damian Kane.
Mustafa Ali.
Team Kaffa.
Mustafa Ali in diapers, because I'm sure in 96 he was probably still a baby.
He wasn't even a born.
Yeah.
Dude, it was,
team,
no.
Team Kaffa, I'd give that an A++.
Oh my god, this show is gonna have so many names and stuff.
Actually, I actually wrote down the show name was already the Bob Backlund Show, but I don't know if that's gonna be it or not. But
he's never worked there, but he's never been talked about so much in 2024 ever. Nobody will ever bring up Bob Backlund more in this year than we just did in an hour. Smells like chicken wings.
Burnt toast. When was
the last time Afa got talked about?
Mustafa?
Afa. The original gangster.
Everybody that got talked about wasn't even on the show. But we beat up Damian Kane.
Talking about Afa, shut your mouth.
And one of the Dudleys who won't go away. It's not DW Dudley, it's don't go away Dudley. He's like a all bad right. cold.
All right, everybody, we're going to sign off. Any parting words for our listeners this week?
DW
guys?
Stands for don't want you around Dudley.
DL Dudley, don't leave.
Or do leave.
Nah, man, we beat up enough people tonight.
Aaron?
14 jalopy, sloppy what? Boob jobs.
Just thanks for listening. Rate, review. That's the way to get it up the charts. And,
and as always,
Eastern European fans.
Yes, I was going to say, all our big-time listeners in the Eastern European bloc.
And Turkey.
Yeah, the Netherlands and Germany, man. We're big in the Netherlands and Germany, so.
Well, at least I know.
Enjoy your sauerkraut and your fucking swordfish.
Achtung, baby.
At least I know that when Jessica and her new boyfriend go on their big cruise, there's nothing to listen to. They can listen to our show when they're overseas.
It's like, keep octuning in, baby. Let's do our show.
Okay.
Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye. Alvita Zane.
Donkey Zane.